Imam Sadiq Online Seminary. Website www.imamsadiq.tv. Subject Adabul Muta'allimin. Teacher Sheikh Muhammad Ja'far Danish. Lesson number 2.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Wallanatu ala a'da'ihim ajma'in ila yawmiddin. Assalamu alaykum, dear brothers and sisters. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, in the previous session we talked about some tips about morality about our class. Okay, the fifth point, the next point is that we need some things sometimes to startle us, to wake us up, to remind us the things that we have to be aware of, okay? Especially about our morality. And you see in Quran some verses such as they are like يا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا O believers, believe. You that have faith, have faith. He tells us again to have faith, okay? And so that he would يجعل لكم نورا تمشون به. So he would give us a light that we have in our everyday lives, okay? If you don't have that light, you have to reconsider there is something wrong, okay? The light of your faith, okay? Do you really feel it? You have to feel it, okay? And maybe one of the things that Quran is for is to wake us up, to mention and remind us of the things that are there, of the reality, of the endowments of God over us. Okay? You see in Quran that some people are considered as being blind and deaf. They have eyes, they have ears, but they are blind and deaf. Summun, bukmun, umyun. Lahum a'yunun la yubsiruna biha, wa lahum adhanun la yasma'una biha, lahum qulubun la yafqahuna biha. They have heart, but they have no understanding. Okay, why is that? Because, and they are like animals and even worse. Why? Because they are in such negligence. Okay, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. Okay, they neglect what they know. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ. Zulman wa uluwa, they oppress, they are oppressing God and actually themselves. And they are so proud of themselves, they don't count God or other people. They think that they are God Almighty. Okay? And we have in our narrations, in our supplications, that for example, I can't get away from committing sins except that you keep me away by mentioning and reminding me of your kindness towards me. When I remind and remember your kindness to me, the endowments that you have to me, I get inspired and keep away from committing sins. And you see many stories of this. For example, the story of Bushr, which is well known as Bushr al-Hafi Walker. And the story is that someday he was playing some haram music in his house, and maybe dancing and things like that. And Imam Sadiq or Baqir alayhi salam was passing by, and the maid of that person, Bushr, was at the door front, and Imam asked her that, is the owner of this house a freeman or a slave? And she answered, he's a freeman. And Imam said, of course, he is a freeman. If he was a slave, he wouldn't do such thing. If he was obedient, I mean, a servant of God, okay? He got the point, Bushr, when he asked her, who was that? Why did you delay? Who was that you were talking to? He said that he was Imam, I think. And Bushr was startled, and he woke up, and he went quickly after the Imam, maybe bare feet, and asked for forgiveness. He came to himself, he repented. Okay, so we have to have someone or something to startle us, to wake us up, to remind us. And we have the story of Zuhayr ibn Qin, one of the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that in the day of Ashura, in the night, okay, Imam Hussein said to all of them that I have seen no companions more loyal and better than you, my companions. And Zuhair was there. So how that happened? How did that happen? Zuhair was avoiding to meet and face Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the way to Kufa. They were going the same way, but Zuhair and his companions, they were avoiding the caravan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They kept their distance, but some place they got together, there was a short distance. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam sent his messenger to Zuhair and asked him to come to him. And they were eating something. They were startled and shocked. But his wife said to him, don't you want to answer the Imam Hussein? Don't you want to answer the son of the daughter of the Prophet? How dare you? How can you? How could it be possible? Go, come on. And Zuhair came to the tent of the Imam Hussein, and after a very short while, he came out and he was changed. He woke up and he said goodbye to his wife and said that I'm going with Imam Hussein. Maybe knowingly that he would be martyred, he would be killed. Okay? So, don't you need that? Don't we need someone to wake us up? Even a child can do that sometimes. Even the nature, the creature of God, can. can do that sometimes. Okay? So have a kind of program, plan for that. Okay? And these classes of akhlaq can do a part. And our supplications and Quran and our night prayers, inshallah, and pilgrimage to Mecca, to Karbala, and other holy places. But the thing is that nothing can wake us up better than ourselves. We have to have someone, some advisor in ourselves that can echo the sound outside, that can strengthen and admit the things that we are reminded of. Otherwise, it would be useless if someone tells us anything about morality and these classes of akhlaq and Quran and everything would be useless if you don't want to wake up, if you play being asleep. No one can wake you up. Okay, right now you can think about this. You can change like Zuhair. If you're, yeah, every one of us have some mistakes, some problems. Okay, so, and one of the things that can wake us up is thinking about this. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. Okay, think about this sometimes. Go to the graveyards sometimes. Think about it. Okay. And let's go to the next point. We have some models and patterns for morality, and those are the holy prophets and the imams. They are lighting up the way, and we have to recharge ourselves sometimes by knowing about their stories and reading Quran and these classes of akhlaq. And we have been there has been so much emphasis on being careful about choosing our companions, our masters, and our friends, okay, because they have a great influence on us. We have to keep company with knowledgeable people who bring their knowledge into their actions, okay, who live by their knowledge, live with their knowledge, okay? The next thing is a very, may be sometimes complicated, is a delicate thing. You can have a research, or after you get skillful in akhlaq and in fiqh and in Islamic studies, you can have some articles or books about it even, okay? And that is the barrier or the difference, maybe we can say, about between akhlaq and fiqh. You see that sometimes akhlaq gets us to somewhere beyond fiqh, or higher, we can say, whatever. Let me give you some examples. For example, if you have a deal with someone, and that someone gets regretful, regrets the deal that he had with you, and he likes you to call the deal off and bring him back, give him back his money or the thing that he has given you. But in fiqh, you're not obliged to do that. Okay? Except under some conditions. Okay? Generally, you're not obliged. Okay? But in akhlaq, it says, even if you are not obliged, you'd better do that. Why? Because we have to be kind to other people. We have to be merciful. Okay? We have to be decent. And there are some stories in history. For example, it's been said in history, some books, that when Muslim alayhi salam, rahmatullah alayhi, God bless him, came to Kufa before Imam Hussein alayhi salam started to move towards Kufa, Muslim was his messenger to Kufa to know, to make sure if people are really people like and would want Imam Hussein to come. And he came to Kufa. They planned something to somehow terrorize or kill, whatever you call it, kill Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, the ruler of Kufa that was from Yazid. He was appointed by Yazid to rule Kufa. And they planned this with Hani, some say, or someone else. But when the time came and the owner of that house, that he, Ibn Ziyad, came to visit him because he was ill, and to deceive people, to show people that, yeah, we have no problem with your elderly, your luminaries, okay? He came to visit. They had planned to kill him. But when the time came, he refrained and avoided doing this. And when Ibn Ziyad went, they asked Muslim, why didn't you do that? That you missed the chance. And Muslim, according to some narrations, he said that I have heard from the Holy Prophet that this is against morality. Okay, somehow. This is against morality, against honor and dignity and decency to kill someone unknowingly, unconsciously, okay? So, maybe in fiqh and jurisprudence it was allowed, but in akhlaq. This can get controversial sometimes, okay? So after you get a skillful in Islamic studies, you can do some research more about this. And the story of Amir al-Mu'mineen not telling a lie for expediency in that council meeting, so-called, that he was asked, if you are going to follow the way of the two caliphs before, and he said, I will not. I will follow the Holy Prophet, his way, and Quran, but not the way of the two first caliphs. He didn't tell a lie. Why was that? Maybe in fiqh you say that it was a white lie And it was allowed because for a more important thing, but in akhlaq. And so you can say that akhlaq is much more than we can imagine. We can we had understood it before. Okay, or the story of Amir al-Mu'minin not denying water to the army of Muawiyah after they had done the same to the army of Amir al-Mu'minin. They denied water because they came to it first. They denied water, and it was against morality, at least against the teachings of Islam. But Amir al-Mu'minin took over the water, but he didn't deny. He didn't do the same thing to Muawiyah and his army. So you may say akhlaq offers us more than fiqh does. Or you may say that akhlaq is something more than what we could possibly imagine. Or you may say that there is something higher than akhlaq. Whatever you say, you can say that akhlaq completes fiqh, is a part, a great and important part of Islam, the teachings of Islam. So you have to think about it more than that. It needs a lot of study. Okay. So we have 5 or 10 minutes left. Let me tell you about the next point about misconceptions and misunderstandings about the teachings of Islam, including morality, moral issues. Some may think, for example, I have a friend that he was telling a story about him deceiving some non-Shia, and they were laughing. It was not a good thing. This is against our teachings, and I mentioned that, I reminded him that this is not a good thing that you can boast by it, and this is against the teachings that our imams had. Okay, and so we have to correct our misunderstandings. Sometimes we have some misunderstandings. We may think that, yeah, this is good, why not? But if we think deeper enough and we study the Islamic teachings, we may think otherwise. We may think differently. Okay? And that may happen a lot. So we have to know. Okay? I told you that morality is about doing rather than knowing. But knowing is not worthless. It's very important. You have to know to do. Okay? So we have to know what our imams had said and what Quran is offering. Okay, the next point is that, let me find my knowledge again. Okay. The rights of people are very important. This is maybe not a principle, but it's very important. We have to observe the rights of people and not to violate them. This is very important, that because of that I'm going to mention it. That is called haqqun nas. Okay, we can add this to our points. And especially we have to observe the rights of our neighbors. That is very emphasized on in Islam. Okay, Or, for example, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam said to someone called Zuhairi that مَا عَلَيْكَ أَن تَجْعَلَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْكَ بِمَنْزِلَةِ أَهْلِ بَيْتِكَ. You have to put Muslimin to consider them as being as your family members. فَتَجْعَلَ كَبِيرَهُمْ بِمَنْزِلَةِ وَالِدِكَ. And to consider the older people older than you as being your parents. وَتَجْعَلَ صَغِيرَهُمْ بِمَنْزِلَةِ وَلَدِكَ. And the younger as being your children, okay, the kids, and others, your sisters, brothers. This changes the attitude so much, okay, to consider people like this, okay. Or لا يؤمن عبد حتى يأمن جاره بوائقه. You are not a believer, a real believer, a real faithful, a real Muslim, until your neighbor is safe with you. Okay? There is no harm against him from you. And the next point is about moderation. Moderation is the rule of thumb. It has to be your rule of thumb in almost everything. Okay, but this is somehow can be sometimes ambiguous or controversial. What is moderation? Sometimes it's simple and easy to understand and easy to specify, but sometimes it is not. So you have to study, you have to think over it. Yes, think it through, muse over it. Okay. So the next point is very important that you have your own standards in morality, your behavior, your own standards. Not to please others. Not to show off, not to please others, not to do something because you fear that people would say things about you. No. Put all of that away aside and forget about all of them. You have to have your own standard. This is crucial in morality, in your characteristics and your morality, your behavior, your identity, your personality, psychologically. Okay, this is very important. And these standards have to be gotten and received from the teachings of our Imams, the Holy Prophet, our Imams, and Quran. Okay, you have to study about it and to fix and to assign and to clarify these standards for yourself. And these standards should be strong enough, okay? Not something imaginary, not something delusional, okay? They have to be clear, strong, and backed up with the teachings of Islam, the true teachings, okay? So you have to know about these teachings, and after that you have to have these standards, okay? For example, in our sayings that we have, that your privacy, your solitude has to be like your presence in public. How can that be? When our standards are still in its place, your solitude and your presence in public would be the same. Okay? Isn't that? And that's right? Okay. So these are the points that I wanted to mention to you. I thought they are essential and crucial to know and consider. If we read this book or not, these are some things helpful. I hope you may find them useful too, and to understand them and to bring them into your action. And inshallah, there are other certainly there are other tips and mentions, important points and tips, but okay, inshallah, we will find them yourselves on or later, and when we get to the text of the book, inshallah, we will talk more about these things. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Imam Sadiq Online Seminary. Website www.imamsadiq.tv.